everybody. And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right. It's me, Cam Hale. And as always, my turkey-eating, pickle-beer-drinking friend over here, Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in beautiful Skeleton Studios. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Cam?
Yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Dude, we had a great time. Lots of family. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm glad it's over. We were so busy.
Yeah, I'm with
that
you.
It's, you know what it is? I enjoy this time of year. You know, like we've always talked about in the past, I love this type of year or this time of year to get to spend with our families, but it's always so busy. I don't think I realized how busy it was like as a kid.
Yeah, no, I'm booked until the end of the year. My wife already told me that every weekend we have something planned. So don't go ahead and plan anything. Yeah.
And then not only that, we leave in January for like 12 days or something.
That's right.
We're going to be gone. So, I mean, it's. Yeah, I didn't realize how busy I was. And I always say, I'm one of those guys that I'm always like, man, I wish we didn't have anything to do. I wish it was quiet. I could just, but then after about 2 hours, you're like, man, I'm bored. Now I got to go find something to do.
I hear you. When I have nothing to do, which is very rare, but when it happens, like I'm stir crazy.
Yeah.
I start going crazy. I start feeling guilty. Like I need to be doing something.
Yeah.
And the length of the Mandalorian episodes just are not long enough for me.
I knew that was going to come up. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You. I know I'm a crybaby. They're providing this service for a very small amount of money. I'm enjoying the filming, but I'm like, man, I get into it. And it feels like it's 10 minutes long. I'm like, ugh. Could you please?
I'm with you.
Make it a little longer. I'm not going to complain though. But here's something I did notice: when you go to like the Disney Plus app, I thought that all of the Star Wars and things like that were going to be moved over, but apparently they're not all there. Some of them are still on Netflix.
Well, there's a lot of the movies that they've not added that are. If you go through their lineup, it'll tell you they're coming up like in 2020. I'm assuming it's because. They haven't signed off on, or they still are in a contract with other streaming companies.
Yeah.
So they have to finish all that over.
Cause like The Last Jedi is still on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's not on Disney Channel. Also, I was sold a bill of goods that I kind of feel, that I got the short end of the stick on this new Irishman movie on Netflix. Have you seen this with Robert De Niro?
I was going to watch it.
Well, when, you know, you see the commercial, they're talking about it's the best Martin Scorsese film ever.
Yeah, let's not go get
so I was
away.
Like, wow, the best ever? I've definitely got to watch this.
Scorsese film ever?
I watched it. Now, it's about 3.5 hours long.
Is it the best ever?
It's good. I would definitely not say it's the best ever. No.
It's good.
And they did something with the filming. I'm not quite sure. But, of course, you know, with those guys, when you have Robert De Niro and stuff and it's supposed to be back in time, they got to make them look younger. That's getting harder and harder to do. But they filmed it some. There's something going on with like CGI or something. It doesn't quite look.
You sure it's not your old eyes?
Human. No, I'm telling you, man, there's
it
something
look
funny.
Human.
There's something funny going on when they're supposed to be the younger versions of themselves. Look, it's okay. I understand what they're doing.
So they didn't cross the uncanny valley. They haven't broken it yet.
I don't know. But yeah, it was a good show. I recommend watching it, but definitely is not the best Martin Scorsese film that I've ever seen. That's just a personal opinion. So, yeah, you're going to have to give up over 3 hours of your time to watch it.
I'm good.
Pretty cool. I was like, I wasn't too familiar with the history of Jimmy Hoffa. I mean, all I know is like from Ace Ventura, like they'll find Jimmy Hoffa before they find any humpback whales.
Still remember my that? Fave. Yes.
What's the password? Is it clam chowder, red or white? I don't know.
He goes, yes.
But yeah, we drove around a lot. We went to a couple different Thanksgivings. The kids, of course, were bouncing off the walls, eating candy and having fun with cousins. And they say, yeah, it was good. You know, it's my job for whatever reason, wherever I go, I'm the carver. Like, I don't know how I got this job, but silently I fell into the job where
they can tell that you can handle a knife with that serial killer stare you've got.
Yeah, maybe. But I carve the turkeys everywhere I go. I carve the hams everywhere I go. And so I'm doing a lot of work on Thanksgiving.
Carried away.
Are there any things at Thanksgiving that you despise or hate?
No, I really don't. Wait, food-wise?
Yeah, food or even desserts.
Anything that involves Jell-O.
You don't like Jell-O?
Well, I don't understand why when we get into the holiday season, why all of a sudden it becomes, why Jell-O's not good enough on its own, that you got to start throwing crap like nuts and fruits
and
stuff and to suspend in it. And it's, is the stuffing and whatever other crap you're trying to make doesn't have enough mixture in it that you got to throw this crazy texture in with this wacky Jell-O. Like no. all like they try to fancy it up. Like what do they call it? A cranberry walnut salad.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
and
about.
And I'm like, all it is like a berry flavored Jell-O with some nuts in it and maybe a few pieces of fruit. That's let's not pretend and it's in, other than anything else. I mean, it's look, I just that's like saying a bologna sandwich is like a flat steak. We're going to have flat steak tonight. Now you're having
hamburger
bologna.
Steak. You don't like yeah. hamburger steak?
Yeah, it's a hamburger with just, no bun.
No circle that's breads. It. No
it's
circle just, breads.
Yeah, that's it.
Interesting
anything
thing too.
With Jell-O. I'm out.
I got you. When it comes to stuffing, like there is a difference between stuffing or dressing. And I've noticed there's a difference in the way that people in the South do it versus the people in the North. Now, is your stuffing made with cornbread? Or
no,
they use traditional bread.
They use traditional bread. Well, we have two different kinds. Or right. we used to have two different kinds. We would have traditional bread stuffing with oysters.
Uh-huh.
And then we would also have like a cornbread, but it was more of like a cornbread casserole type stuff.
Right. There's a difference, right? Yeah. So my family's from New Jersey, New York area. So my mother's dressing or stuffing is completely different than the way my wife's family makes it. And I kind of have gotten... I kind of miss that because I was always brought up eating it the way my mother prepares it, and it's totally different.
Mama's
also,
boy.
They don't put any like brown gravy on their turkey. Like they just eat it dry.
Ah, see, I love brown gravy.
Me too. I'm like, the turkey, I mean, isn't it?
That's why I like KFC. Can I go ahead and say that? Because I like their brown gravy.
What's wrong with KFC?
You remember, before we get off on a crazy topic of food, you remember when we were in high school with the Grandies? We go to the Grandies.
Yeah, the ladies used to dress up like old women.
And hand out rolls.
Yeah.
You get the double fried chicken fried steak, which was like some kind of beef finger.
I don't remember the menu, but I definitely remember the
brown gravy on it or the cream gravy on it.
Right.
Oh.
You know, there still is a Grandies out in Rome.
There used to be one right over there by UTA.
Huh.
Right off Cooper Street.
Yeah.
Right down the road from Nick Redfern. It was legitly right down from Nick's house, not a couple miles.
But yeah, no, it was a good Thanksgiving. Also, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
not only you, but my son also had a birthday over the break. Your birthday's on the 26th. Luke's on the 24th.
Yeah. And my nephew's birthday is the same day as Luke's.
Right.
Luke was born on my nephew's birthday. And then my son's is coming up this week. So it'll be rolling out on the third, which his is a week after mine. So yeah, we got a bunch of them stacked
in. Yeah. So we went out to dinner for your birthday.
Yeah.
And did you like the gift we got you?
It fits well. It's very well. if you go by my house, you'll see it on the front porch.
You need to take a picture of it.
I should post it all up. For those that are wondering what it is, it's a 9-inch tall garden gnome holding a sign that says, go away and shooting the bird.
We saw that and we're like, dude, that's got Cam written all over it. We have to get that.
I had to put it out before everybody got to my house for Thanksgiving. So they walked by the front door with my garden gnome standing there.
Right. And yeah. That's a new thing too, is like people coming up to your porch. Not just door-to-door salesman, but now the Amazon driver, they can show up in unmarked vehicles, wearing different types of clothing. I mean, like, you just see strangers on your porch all the time. And I think one of my neighbors, Miss Lambert, is not aware of this because I was outside the other day and she was like, hey, I just want to let you know, don't leave your garage door open because I thought I caught a guy trying to steal something out of your garage. I'm like, what are you talking about? And
that's the best way to get shot around here, running around.
I think she's
yards.
Confusing it with Amazon drivers because we buy an awful lot of things from Amazon, especially this time of year. And I mean, there's packages getting dropped off almost every day. So I think what she saw.
Well, and your wife's a drug mule.
Yeah, let's moving on. I think what she saw was like an Amazon driver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Delivering a package and running back to the vehicle. He's only running because he's probably got a lot of stops to make. Well, in her mind. You know, this woman's old, like 80. So in her mind, there's only like UPS men, FedEx men, and like mailmen.
That's it.
And if you don't see that, then somebody's up to no good.
Yeah.
When I don't think that's the case. But
is she armed?
Oh, probably.
I would imagine she is.
She is.
She strikes me as a type that I guarantee you has a long gun in that house somewhere. Maybe not a handgun, but there's probably a shotgun rattling around in there somewhere.
Yeah, she's pretty country. And usually we have an old woman like that who's from the country. Yeah, they know how to shoot shotguns.
Yeah. You'll get cut in half going up banging on her door in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's
good. You got to be very, very careful. Speaking of being very, very careful, you need to be very careful up near Kenton, Tennessee, bud.
Why's that?
There was a screaming Bigfoot encounter that took place up there.
Okay, lay it on me.
This only reason that it caught my attention, and I don't remember talking about this in the past. I don't think it was sent to us. I don't remember anything really about this. I can't remember if we've done it, but I don't think we have. But Lon posted this up as an update And what caught me was the first few sentences in the story. So I'm going to read this to you.
Please.
I just wanted to start by saying I love the website and all of the stories. All right. That's what the person wrote.
Me too.
Second sentence. I first heard of this site while listening to Expanded Perspectives and have been hooked on reading your stories ever since.
I can totally see why.
Whoever wrote this, I love you. All right. I love you. Goes on to say this. I thought you would like the story I have to tell, and I haven't shared it with anyone else, mostly out of fear of being called crazy. This happened about 10 years ago on my grandparents' farm, which they still live on, and I still visit almost weekly. It's located outside of Kenton, Tennessee in Gibson County. I was probably 12 at the time, and it was summer, so my grandparents would allow my sister, who was 10 at the time, and I to have sleepovers at their house. There were probably 7 of us staying over that night, and we'd been outside all day and were all from the area. Now, for a little background on the location of the sighting, my grandparents' house is situated between 2 small towns with populations of around 1,000 per people each. The farm is also about 10 minutes from 3 different wildlife areas. They had no neighbors at the time other than cows and corn. Now, they have one neighbor whose house you can see from the yard, but no other visible neighbors. They have maybe 3 within a mile radius of the house. So around 11 p.m., we decided to go outside. Because we were being loud, my grandparents had gone to bed. We had done this probably 6 times over the summer. We'd been outside for probably 30 minutes to an hour when we started to hear odd noises in the cornfield across the road and the sound of corn stalks breaking. This continued over the next probably 20 to 30 minutes. As a bunch of 10 and 12-year-old girls, we ignored the sounds, kept talking, all the while my grandparents' 3 dogs were sitting in front of us, tails tucked and growling like something was in the cornfield that was maybe 50 yards from where we were sitting in my grandparents' front yard. We heard a loud scream from the cornfield as something came out of the field right in front of us. What came out of the field was a tall, humanoid creature covered in dark brown hair that was slightly taller than the corn was at the time, and that was about 6 to 7 feet. We all looked at the creature and then took off running back towards the house, leaving all of our things outside. Once we got inside, we looked at each other in utter shock at what we had seen. None of us wanted to say anything to my grandparents because, well, we all thought they would call us crazy. Of the 7 of us that saw the creatures, 4 of us had been raised hunting and fishing. Now, we knew the animals native to the area and spent hours in the woods with our fathers and grandfathers learning how to track animals and respect nature. To this day, I am afraid to be outside at their house at night by myself. I have heard the same noises again and again over the years, including the screams and the wood knocks. I believe I've caught glimpses of the creature again over the years, standing in the tree lines near the property.
Wow.
EW.
Yeah, reminds me of the stories of what's the grass man
yep.
of Ohio and stuff.
Well, and also too, look, cornfields, first of all, let's start out. Cornfields, they're always up to no good.
They're definitely creepy since the movie Signs.
Oh, well, since Children of the Corn, man, they've
Malachi,
been creepy. Yes.
Yeah.
But like you always, it's been played on a bunch with the cornfields and the sounds in the corn. That wouldn't help. But the idea of a Bigfoot being out there is not shocking. I mean, it's easy, free food.
No, I hear you.
You know, and then it to pop out of there like that. Yeah, I would. Something about those farmhouses and the idea, like the story we'd covered years ago about all the dog men being in the yard and people.
Yeah.
I just think about all these things as in the cornfields. And like you said, with signs, that's really a disturbing image too. When
the leg
creature. Yeah.
Pulls
down,
there.
Yeah.
Something that's scary, but not extraterrestrial, but here on Earth is going on in the United Kingdom right now. Check this out. According to a new article, a number of animals have been brutally killed in Britain, and some believe that they were slain by Satanists.
Oh.
They said that symbols associated with devil worship were found painted on 2 of the dead creatures. Now, these horrific incidents occurred in one of the most picturesque parts of England. There are now fears that there may be a group of Satanists active in the area. The attacks happened on animals in a place that is famous, they claim. It's called New Forest National Park in Hampshire in the south of England. They said near the sleepy villages of Linwood and Bramshaw. Now, they say that this area is a pasture land with some woodlands, and so far two sheep have been killed, as well as a heifer and two calves. They were all stabbed in a number of separate incidents, and they all happened in 1 week. They say that one of the slain sheep was found near the village of Bramshaw by a local resident named Judy Rude, or Rudd. She was out walking a dog when she came across a bloodied ewe. The poor sheep had been stabbed in the rib cage in its side, and Miss Rudd told Metro that it had purple and green aerosol symbols sprayed on it. These symbols were a pentagram and a cross. Now, the pentagram and an inverted cross are signs that have been historically used by Satanists since the early medieval period. Another dead sheep was found stabbed to death with similar symbols painted on it not far away. Now, in that same week Miss Rudd found the sheep dead, there were three other attacks, according to Sky News. They reported that a heifer was discovered with a wound to its neck, and two calves had injuries to their shoulders in the Bramshaw and Linwood areas. The injuries the calves and heifers sustained were so bad that they had to be euthanized. And they say that back on November 20th, some unidentified vandals sprayed satanic graffiti on St. Peter's Church in Bramshaw. The inverted cross was painted on a wall, and the number of the beast, Cam, was also painted there, the number 666. The New Forest area is a very rural area and has a long tradition in magic and the occult. And they say that several local businesses trade on the locality's locations, and they have associations in that area with fairies. However, they also say that there's a long history of witchcraft and black magic in the area. So there seems to be a group of Satanists killing animals and then some type of sacrifice. They don't know if they're ramping up for something like preparation for the winter solstice, things like that. We had a person that me and you met at a conference in Jefferson, mm-hmm. Texas, and he was a Border Patrol agent. We've talked about this before, but when he was out on patrol one time, he believes that him and his partner like came across, I remember this, like some kind of satanic ritual going on in the middle mm-hmm. of the dark. These people were dressed like Jawas, right? That's the description I got. They were like in some kind of robes, mm-hmm. maybe priestly robes. They're around like what appeared to be like a small bonfire. And, you know, that was a big craze when we were kids.
The satanic panic of the 80s, man.
That's right. Yeah, like that was a thing. Like, you guys got to be... I remember one time we went camping. I had to be about 14. And that was one of the things my mother warned me about, was y'all be careful where you're camping. Some crazy Satanist might find mm-hmm. you. And, like, you had to think, like, what? Could they kill us? Would we be sacrificed?
We used to laugh about the fact of the way our parents and grandparents... Our grandparents, especially, how they reacted to the Dungeons and Dragons books.
Right, yeah.
Because they went, like, my grandmother went wacky for that whole thing. Like, she was not about it, you know, instantly was against any of that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I remember it all, like, on Geraldo Rivray.
Right.
Geraldo yeah. Rivray would have those people on.
Do you know those people are like, what? We know it's Geraldo Rivera. Yeah. It's funny.
There's an old man I used to hunt with who's long since gone, and I've told many a story about him, but he passed away years ago. And that's what he called him, was Geraldo Rivray. He would tell me, you never trust a man with a mustache that big. He goes, him and Sam Elliott.
Yeah, so maybe this satanic group is moving closer and closer to the Thames River. Yeah.
Better call up Geraldo Rivray again.
Right. Yeah, we know it's the Thames. We purposely...
No, we don't. It's the Thames. See, spell it correctly.
What happened is, in the beginning, we didn't know how to pronounce a lot of these towns and things, so we just started mispronouncing everything on purpose, so no one knows if
now we're
it's a mistake
it.
Or if it's real.
Now we're riding it. It just helps me out so much better.
I got one more story before we lay take it a on break. Me. Check this out. This says, my grandmother had a story from the late 50s. This story was written into us, sorry. Driving north on a paved two-lane road lined with small trees and brush with my great-aunt and one of my uncles, Uncle Ron, who was about 2 years old at the time and was in the back seat. Well, they rounded a turn while climbing a series of switchbacks up a hill. Now, this is from memory because she passed away about 7 years ago now. She said that I smelled it before we saw it.
Well, whoever smelt it dealt it.
As they approached, they said it... was standing beside the road, down a couple of feet in a ditch, but it was still taller than the car by a couple of feet. And she said that when her sister sees it, She grabs her by the arm and yells, "Look out, Barbara, it's a bear." And my grandmother said that that ain't no bear. She said it just stood there as they passed it. It looked like a very large, hairy man with hair all over its face, but only its ears, lips, and eyelids lacked hair. But what struck her the most interesting was that it had or appeared to have no neck. Its head sat upon its shoulders like Cam Hale in a strange way while watching them as it turned its whole body, and its hair was brown and matted just like that of a stray dog. After they passed, she watched it in the rearview mirror. It stepped up out of the ditch on the side of the road, and in one large step, it stepped all the way to the center line of the road, and in one more step, it cleared the road into the next ditch on the other side. So within three steps, it had cleared 20 feet into the brush and trees and disappeared from sight. The whole time, she said her sister was holding her arm, crying and jabbering away like a mental patient, and that they had both pissed in their seats. Ron, the brother, in the back seat, slept through the entire event.
Good for Ron.
He's two. He was 2 years old. But this is a common...
That's not good. I mean, I've urinated all in my seat before.
Oh, that's urinating in seats is very common. But even less common, but also is the description of Sasquatch or something being able to cross a road in just a few, 2 to 3 minimal amount of steps. Mm-hmm. That's what people always talk about. He has a really wide stride. Yet, when you look at sightings of footprints that people take, it doesn't look like it's a really long gait like that. So I wonder why when crossing the road, it has a really wide gait, yet when you see it on a trail or path in the woods, it doesn't appear to have that long of a gait. I don't know, but Sasquatch is one of the most famous cryptids around. And speaking of that, I'm going to get into some sightings that people have had with our hairy beast of the woods. But let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Perhaps the most popular cryptid of all time is Bigfoot. Everyone has heard about it. Whether you're a small child or a senior citizen, it has been seen in every corner of the globe. It goes by many names, like Sasquatch, the Yowie, the Urin, Almosty, Swamp Ape, Yeti, and these are just to name a few. There are tons of encounters claimed by loggers, hunters, campers, and everyday people. Yet there is little to no physical evidence that the creature truly exists. There are numerous photos that allege to show the monster in action. There is even film footage too, such as the famous and controversial Patterson-Gimlin film of 1967 that was shot in Northern California by Roger Patterson. Countless books have been written on the subject. The beast have been the subject of a hit movie, like Harry and the Hendersons, and they've even promoted beef jerky. So, the question is, what are people seeing? Why have there been so many sightings? I don't know. But on today's show, instead of telling you more about these encounters, I'm actually going to play you some audio clips of people telling their stories. Their terrifying encounters with the hairy giant in their own words. From backwood hunters to famous television hosts to berry-picking grandmothers, each of these people believe they've encountered something incredibly strange in the woods. Let's begin. This first encounter was from a man named A.J. Jones, and I'm not 100% sure where this took place, but I believe it was in the Virginia area, West Virginia area. And one thing I have to point out about several of these people is these are backwoods people. These are country folk. These are people who live in rural areas, as you would imagine. These are the type of people that are having these encounters. And just because they may not have a super high level of education does not mean that they're not familiar with the woods and their surroundings. Let's begin.
This is my Bigfoot story. About 3 weeks ago, me and my cousins walking over in the woods. And like usual, he was running his mouth. And I told him to listen. Well, he listened. And I asked him what that was. And we went on. He kind of got ahead of me. He stopped. Well, when he stopped, it set in again. And I never heard a beat in my life. I wish you people, if you just don't believe what I'm trying to say, get out in the woods and go over and you'll find out what we're saying. It scared us. So we kept on following the trail. And when we followed the trail, I wished we hadn't, because it scared us bad. I come to the house. There was his footprints, and there, you just have to see it to believe it. And you really have to be with us when you see it, because to hear people tell it, you wouldn't believe it. But when you see it out of your own eyes, people, you know what we're trying to say. And it was, I guess it stood about 7.5 to 8 foot tall. And it was hairy. And I never heard a beat in my life. And we never could, what you say, really get up on it as close as we wanted to, but it got to following us. And I told my cousin, I said, wait a minute. He stopped. And when he stopped, I took my flashlight. And there was the footprints of what we seen. But it would stay ahead of us enough that we couldn't really, you could see, but you couldn't really see what it was right up on you like a cat. But now you would have just followed us and seen. And I had a nephew went up there the other day, and he said he heard the stuff too. Now, you can hear and you can see. You can tell, and we started back home, and my cousin was just a little ways in front of me, and there's a rock come right down through there, and nearly hit him in the head. And somebody throwed the rock. And if that wasn't the Bigfoot or whatever, you tell me what it was, because there wasn't nobody behind us, there wasn't nobody in front of us, there wasn't nobody beside of us. Now, I'm not telling it to tell a lie. I'm telling it to tell the truth. Everyone even ought to see what me and him saw. And then you would believe both of us. But it sounds like a lie. But people, it's not no lie. You're a part of these woods, and you'll know what I'm saying. Now, I know. I seen it out of my own eye. If you had told me you had seen this, out of your mouth, I'd have told you you told a lie. But we seen what I'm saying. Every bit of it. There was no marks or nothing. And I asked my cousin, I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to the house. You're senior. He was about 14 years old. And he outwalked me. He got to the house before I could even get off the hill. He was scared. Now, if you don't believe something to scare you like that, you try and see. And he's kind of hard to get in his mind if seeing things behind him or in front of him. But now that day, he stood right beside him. It was like an old dog you just turned loose. He wouldn't get away from under your feet. And we got up there and we stood there for a few minutes. And it was just like it was right up on top of him. And you could hear it still. You could hear it. And you'd never been up there. You would have got an enjoyment out of it, trying to find it. and he'd holler, and he would howl. I never heard the beat in my life, and I've been up here for 38 years, going on 39 years, and I've never seen nothing like that or heard nothing like that. But I guarantee you one thing, and the smell, I'm telling you what's true. The pole cat couldn't smell no worse than that thing did. It smelled like it laid out in the water, mud, for two or three days, and got out in the sun. And it was nasty looking. You would have seen it. And then you'd know what I'm trying to tell you now. And I just advise you all, can hear this, get out in the woods in the evening, about dark, and just wander the woods and see what you see yourself. Now, I've heard bears holler, and I've seen bears, but now this was no bear. If it was, it hollered a different way than I've ever heard a bear holler. And you tell them from the country club, they can't talk plain. And you'll just get you a patch of woods one night, and bunch me in, get out in it, see what you can hear. Stay out of the house. Get out there where you can really see what's going on, and then you'll know what's going on. You don't have to take nobody's word. Get out there and see what's going on. And people hear a bunch of dogs of the night and stuff like that, they ought to get out and go see what it is, because it may not be no dogs. You don't know what it could be out there in the woods of the night hollering and hooting going on. And all I can say, if you're just out in the woods of the night hunting or whatever, people be scared and be careful, because you just don't know what's in there. And you don't know what's standing behind you or beside it that can get you.
Well, AJ's story is pretty interesting. I have since learned that this did take place in North Carolina. I don't know. He seems to believe that him and his cousins were followed by something. Something that was not a bear, something that was throwing things at them. And like he says, you know, when you're out in the woods, pay attention, you know, just listen. When you're out hunting or camping, you might be followed by something. I don't know. Let's move on to the next one. This one took place in Maine, and this is a case of where a man saw something in the woods. He saw footprints. He smelled something horrible. He even makes a claim that, much like a skunk, that the Sasquatch has a gland that it can induce this odor to ward off predators or to warn the other of their ilk that something is in the area. I'm not sure. At first, he claims he thought it was a bear, but then noticed that bears don't move in this way or at this speed. Let's give it a listen.
I went down there, and then that's when I decided to leave. Well, I got a strange smell. So I started walking out of the woods, and I felt something. I don't know. Like I said earlier, I didn't feel right. And I didn't know if a bear was watching me. So anyway, I turned around like that real fast, and I seen something, man, like that. I said, whoa, what the heck was that? Well, I thought it was a bear, a black bear. And I was thinking to myself, man, I said, a black bear don't move that fast. And they don't move that fast. So I got up and started walking away again, right? Well, when I walked away, I heard a snap, but it was about 10 times louder than that.
Yeah.
I said, uh-oh. So anyway, I kept walking. So I said, well, no, I'm going to have to face my fears here or whatever. So I stopped and I turned around, and I thought it was a black bear when I first seen it. And it was standing behind the honeysuckle bushes, and it stunk. Yeah. See, they got an odor gland like a skunk.
Uh-huh.
And they can let it off when they want to. So people say, well, I smell it. Before you see a Bigfoot or something, you always smell it. And that ain't true. Because they got an odor gland like a skunk. They can let that off when they want to, because it's like it's a signal for danger to their family, you know, the other Bigfoots, or whatever. And it's a warning, too, to stay away from them, whatever. It's just different things, you know. So anyway, I stood there, I looked, and I was about from here to your car. where I was. That's how far away I was. And I said, man, I said, that's no black bear. And it was a Bigfoot, man. I knew it. When I seen it, I knew what it was. And I've never seen a Bigfoot in my life. But I've read books about it, magazines. Like, you remember a long time ago, they had the detective magazines and have stories about Bigfoot and monsters and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Every once in a while. Yeah. So I read it. It was about Bigfoot. What happened, up in Canada,
yeah,
there was about five or six hunters, and they was in this in the cabin, and it had pictures of the cabin and all kinds of stuff like that, and it showed blood and footprints and everything, and it's where a Bigfoot, evidently, I don't know if they captured them people and killed them or what, they never did find them people. There's five or six hunters. I can't remember exactly, five or six, I don't want to tell you. They never did find them. And there was blood and footprints, like human footprints and everything. Mm. And they said Bigfoot did it, but they couldn't prove it. And to this day, as far as I know, they've never found them people. And I read that story, and back then, I was skeptical about Bigfoot, like a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
I said, ah, that ain't true.
Right.
You know? I don't believe that bullshit. You know? I mean, I didn't believe it. I was skeptical, you know, like a lot of people are. I've been around a lot of people like that. I understand where they're coming from, you know. And I said, well, I ain't seen that thing. So, well, it probably ain't true. It's some big lie, you know. Well, I didn't give no thought years and years down the road. Mm. So, anyway, like I say, I was out there in the woods. I seen that creature. I knew it was a Bigfoot, man. And when I seen that thing, it was there a bit of 10 feet tall. And like him, honeysuckle bushes, they come about like up to here, to his chest.
Wow.
And it was another, it was a good 3 foot taller than the weeds when it was up to here. So he was like, you know, that much taller than the...
So like 10, 11 feet.
He's a good 10 feet tall.
And you were pretty close to him.
From here to Bill's car.
Wow.
Roughly.
So 40 feet or so.
Something like that, 40, 50 feet roughly.
Wow. If this story is 100% true, how scary is that? And like we've said so many times on the show, whether this is physical or something like that, the people believe they saw something. They didn't imagine it. They saw something, and it's affected them dramatically enough for them to come out, tell their family, tell their friends, tell their coworkers. And it's had a great effect on their lives. We personally have spoken to people who have seen similar things, and Cam in particular knows a guy that pretty much gave up hunting after his encounter. That's what makes these stories so compelling. What are these people seeing, and why? Let's move on to this next one. Now, this next one comes from a woman who tells a story of when she was a young girl in southern Illinois. She, like so many other encounters, was helping her mother by picking berries. Now, the berry thing is fascinating to me because there's so many sightings of Bigfoot or Sasquatch when people are berry picking. And if you are familiar with David Politis's work in the Missing 411 books, there's a lot of bizarre disappearances when people are berry picking. I don't know. Something's there. There's some coincidence that's happening around berry patches. Let's give it a listen.
Well, this happened many years ago when I was a little girl in southern Illinois. And I was approximately 12 years old. And it would have been 60 years ago. It was the end of the summer months when the berries got ripe and there was always blackberries and that kind of stuff that grew wild in southern Illinois. And my mom always canned and made pies. So she asked us to go berry picking with her. And I was the only one that said I would go with her. So we got our buckets and we went out, started outside not too far from the house, which was, well, to start with, the place was probably good 2.5 or 3 miles off the main highway, back into the woods and towards the timber, down a gravel road and down a gravel lane. There was only our house and one other house that set up probably a half a mile in front of us, away from all the trees, but we sat next to the trees. At one time, there had been loggers back there and they had left old equipment and stuff sitting up and down the little dirt lane. Anyways, we went berry picking, and we started out fairly close to the house, and we started picking berries. Well, the more further we went, the further we got up towards this bluff where all the trees and everything was at. And not even thinking, we just kept picking berries and having fun that summer with my mom. So we kept picking berries. On up the hill we went, slowly up the hill, getting berries, berries. And I said then, I said, Mom, do you think we got enough berries? No, she said, let's get a few more. So we got a few more berries. And by then we were like up this bluff at the top of the hill where the trees and stuff started and all that, really deep into the woods. So we quit picking berries. And we got up there because I said, Mom, I said, we started to turn around and go back because she said it was, we had enough berries. So I didn't know it, but Mom had already saw it before I saw it. And we started walking, and every time we'd take a step, I'd hear this crunch in the leaves. And when I'd stop, it would stop. And I said, Mom, do you hear that? She said, oh, it's just the rabbits and squirrels and stuff, she said, up here that's making the noise in the leaves. Don't be worried about it. Just turn around, keep going, don't look back, and let's get home. So I started, took a few steps. I could hear this crunch, crunch. I'd stop, it'd stop. Mom said, don't look back, just keep going. So I didn't listen to my mother. I turned and I looked back, and I could see down at the bottom of this bluff from the opposite way we got to the top of the hill. And I could see this thing walking along there. And it was huge, and it was furry. And it had to have been 6 foot tall, at least 7 foot tall, because we were standing up and it still looked huge. I said, Mom, I said, do you see that? She said, don't worry about it. She said, keep going. She said, and don't look back. I said, Mom, let's run. She says, no, don't run. She said, just keep walking slowly, keep going back towards the house. And so I did, until we got to the very bottom of that hill. And we got to the very bottom of that hill. I said, can we run now, Mom? She said, yes, you can run if you want to now. So we ran home. We went home and told my dad and my siblings what we'd saw on our berry picking route. And Dad said, well, if that's what you actually saw, he said, there's no bears that are that huge down here. He said, we don't have anything like that. And he said, what you saw was Bigfoot. And so he went on and forgot about Bigfoot after that because he wasn't in our house or anything, didn't scare us anymore. Anyways, it got colder and it was like, we had one big empty room that we didn't use, and we had it closed off, but my mom had taken a clothesline and tied from corner to corner in the room so she could hang her clothes in there in the winter because she scrubbed on the board. We lived in Southern Illinois. We didn't have a washing machine. We had a scrub board. And you have to remember that was like 60 years ago. A lot of people down in the Southern Hills didn't have washers. A few had old wringer washers, but my mom had a tub. So anyway, she had went in there, she had hung her clothes up, she went in to get a dress out that she planned on ironing for the next day. And all of a sudden we heard my mom scream, she just as loud as she could scream. And we heard her feet hitting the floor as they come bouncing through the door into the other rooms. We wanted to know what was going on. Dad said, Jane, what in the world's going on? I said, why are you screaming like that? And she says, well, wait, she said, as I reached to get my dress off the line, she said, I saw this great big huge thing standing there, tall as the windowsill, stooped over, bent with his hands up to the window, looking at me. It was big and hairy. And so Dad, of course, went out, but there was nothing there. He didn't find it, of course. But after that, we was very leery. We didn't go out at night and play in the yards like we had before. So I guess you could say that's the end of the story.
There you go. Seems like a simple story. A grandmother telling a story when she was a little girl. But that's it. I mean, and the person recording this is like her granddaughter, and she's interviewing her grandmother because obviously she's familiar with the story. She's probably heard it numerous times, you know, around the holidays. And wanted to capture this. I wished I would have gotten into podcasting before I did. We've been doing it about 6 years because there's a few stories from some of my old uncles and grandfather who have passed away that I since now wished I could have recorded back then. Now, nothing about Sasquatch, but other interesting things. But again, what is going on with the berry patch? I don't know, but let's move on. If you're not familiar with Les Stroud used to do a television show called Survivor Man. This was where he would go out into the wild and film himself. There was not a film crew with him. He would be all by himself. He would have to set up his cameras and, you know, he would walk into an area, a remote area, try to locate water, try to procure wood, stuff to eat. He would make fire oftentimes. Basically, he would be surviving for a couple of days with absolutely nothing with him. And he would show you tips and stuff like that. But he was on the Joe Rogan show. This was a couple of years ago. And Joe was asking him about if he'd ever seen Bigfoot while he was out in the wilds. And he actually has two separate stories. One, he was with his girlfriend at the time, and another when he was by himself. I believe both incidences happened in Alaska. I know one for sure. Maybe the other one was British Columbia. Anyways, in that area of the world. And he claims to not have but not one, but two encounters with Bigfoot. So check this out.
When my second wife and I were off living in the bush for a year, and it was like 500 years ago, no metal, no matches, no plastic, no nylon. We were like, you know, just a couple of original traditional Aboriginals living out there. And I did a film about it and all that. And when we were out there, there was this moment where we're in, I don't know where we were, but we were in like a little shelter. We're out by the river. And it's one of those quiet nights where you can hear everything. It's just nice and quiet. And I hear a large bipedal, so, a, you know, 2 feet, walking towards the tent. Now, I know what a bear sounds like when I hear it. I know what a moose sounds like. And I know their feet might line up and all that sort of stuff. I know those sounds. And this was a very large, I would say it was like a very large man walking in the forest. Now, that's, you know, is that a big deal? Well, yeah, we were in the middle of nowhere. Like, there was no roads for, you know, 100 miles. So there should not be anybody walking. And it was walking, and it came closer and closer and closer. It was about 50 feet from the tent. I wish to this day I hadn't done this, but I got nervous, and I did the same thing I might do with a bear. I just kind of yelled out, "Hey, we're over here!" You know, not 10 minutes in this little shelter, and it stopped. And I wished I'd peeked my head out around the corner, and then it turned, and it just walked away just a little bit faster than it came, and that was it. So that was episode number one: a big, big man walking towards us in the middle of the bush at nighttime. It was dark. The second time was the one I told on Opie and Anthony, and that was, I was in day 5 or day 6 of filming Survivor Man in Alaska, and I'd filmed this scene. It's funny because we just looked at these clips recently, and I had forgotten something. That I filmed this scene where I was cutting grass up to make a bed. So recently we were looking at the footage, and I'm going, look at that, and my editor points it out, and we look, and I'm doing my thing, and you see me stopping and going like that. And I'm just looking. And I went back. And I do that 2 or 3 times. I stop and I look. I forgot that I did that, but we saw it on our outtake, so to speak. And I'm stopping. I just keep looking over the bush. Anyway, I finish my scene, and I turn the cameras off. And I'm just sort of standing there, and I hear the sound. I'm like, what the heck? You know? And I'm, you know, of course I'm thinking grizzly bear. Of course. Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking. And about 50 feet away, it's rustling in the trees. And then I hear, like that, only way louder, right up my spine. And then he did it 5 more times, like that. Super, super loud. Now, I've heard moose and bear. I've heard bears grunt. Well, I can make a wolf howl, but I've never heard anything like that before in my life, other than a zoo with the great ape exhibit, right?
Holy
so to me,
shit.
You know, there's 2 ways to ask a question, Joe. You can say to someone, hey, man, do you believe in Bigfoot? That's a hard question to ask because, you know, if you're sitting around at a party, it's like, no way, dude. Forget it, man. Don't be a loser. There's no such. That's one way to ask a question. The other way to ask a question is, do you think it's possible that on our vast expanses of forests throughout the planet, that in tiny little pockets of maybe 6 species, 6 members, that a bipedal Gigantopithecus ape could exist that's very intuitive and sensitive human beings and doesn't really want to be discovered, yet is responsible for hundreds and hundreds of physical, audible anecdotes? That's a different way to ask the question. And so I actually presented that to Discovery Channel, Science Channel recently. I said, why don't I do Survivor Man, Bigfoot Man? Why don't I go out there and I'll just go? No camera crews, and they're down with it. We're trying to make that happen right now.
Are you going to go back to the same spot?
I thought about that. That was Tekla Arm or something like that in Alaska. Back to the spot. But there's some hot in BC and in, I think, Washington State. So I'll go to a few. So that, I mean, so what am I saying? Do I believe? I don't know what the answer is. I'll tell you, the hair went up on the back of my neck that day. I heard a great ape is what I heard. I heard the sound of an ape, you know. I mean, and I'm alone in the middle of Alaska, home of the apes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for people who have never flown over the Pacific Northwest or Alaska, or anything, do you think they really get how crazy it is?
People don't know. People don't know how vast it is out there. I mean, I'm the first one to kind of come up and environmentally speak against, you know, clear cutting and, you know, all that stuff. On the other hand, I've flown, I mean, for hours and not seen, you know, anything but trees.
Yeah, hours.
And so if there was 12 Sasquatch living down there, and let's say they were intelligent enough that they buried their dead. So that's a question, right? Well, how come you never find a skeleton? I've been in the woods for many, many, many years. I've never in my life come across a black bear skeleton, and there's 60,000 of them in Ontario alone.
Yeah,
never once seen a black bear skeleton.
Nature's so efficient at removing bodies.
I found one moose one time that fell through the ice in the spring. Other than that, or deer, you know, other than that. So if you've got 12 bipedal apes that live and they bury their dead, I mean, you're not going to find a skeleton. You're going to find, what do we find? We tracks. We hear sounds. Somebody gets rocks thrown at them. Somebody sees something. That's all we got, you know?
Pretty interesting. Especially the one where he said whatever it was making a whooping sound like a great ape. Just like a great ape that you hear at the zoo. It makes you wonder. Is Sasquatch nothing more than just a large North American ape that's remained hidden all these years? I don't know, but here's a guy who spends a lot of time in the woods. And once again, you remember, this guy's he's not a famous actor or anything like that. He makes his career is based on Survivor Man and things like that. Why would he come forward and throw all that away, or, you know, give up the chance or take the chance in ruining any future work by coming up with these Bigfoot or Sasquatch stories unless he feels like it really happened? Which he apparently does. I got one more for you. Now, this is one we've profiled on the show before. It's been a while, though. It's probably been 4 years or so. This is a pretty scary encounter by a guy named Mike Woolley. And I think you're going to like this. Check it out.
My name is Mike Woolley. I'm from Kechaw, Louisiana. I had an encounter back in December of 1981 with a Bigfoot while deer hunting. It was a beautiful December day, perfect weather for a hunt. Temperature was about 30 degrees. I got to my deer stand that evening, about 3 o'clock, got on it. And I was sitting there, and I was facing to the north. And my deer stand was located about a mile and a half down an old logging road and off the main highway, secondary highway. And what I would do, I would park my truck halfway down the logging road, and I would walk in the rest of the way because I didn't want to drive my truck down and spook the deer. Well, it must have been, I hadn't been there no more than 30 minutes, and this little young doe deer come running from the east out of some briars and brush that there's no way a human could walk through that. But she come up to my deer stand. And what was so amusing, come up to my deer stand and laid down, up and actually touching the deer stand. She was wringing wet with sweat. She had been run. Something had been running her. And the first thing hit my mind, it was a big buck. And I said, I'm going to kill me a big buck. So when I raised my head back up, I was turning my head, and out of my peripheral vision, I seen something hop to a tree. And it was tall, about 7-8 foot tall, and it was black, real hairy, like a gorilla. And I knew it wasn't a gorilla because there was no circus in town, and I knew it hadn't escaped, and I knew we didn't have no gorillas running loose. So the first thing hit my mind, it was somebody dressed up in a suit trying to scare me off my good deer hunting spot. Well, I immediately go to talking to this thing, telling it, you know, take the head off, get out of here, you know, don't come back, you know, this ain't no joke, I don't find it funny, you know, just leave. Well, this thing was just eyeballing me, you know, looking at me, and really giving me some sinister looks. And I knew right then, I said, you know, something ain't right. Well, this went on for a few minutes, and he must have been about 20 yards from me, 15, 20 yards. So I take my rifle. I've got a high-powered rifle with a high-powered scope on the rifle. And I look through the scope at the creature. And I knew that after looking at it, I was in a situation because it was cold. You know, the moisture was coming out of its mouth, its nostrils. It looked really, really human. The face was human. The eyelashes, I could see the eyelashes, you know, the eyes. The teeth were big, big teeth, flat teeth like our teeth. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it, and it just is really PO'd at me. And it lets out a roar like a lion. Well, about 100 yards to the northeast, there's this really, really loud whistle comes back, you know, a signal to the growl. Well, this creature looks over that way and whistles back in the same tone of whistle and then turns and looks at me. Well, I'm kind of like, hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, something's up. I'm in trouble, big trouble. Well, all of a sudden I hear movement coming from that direction, and I knew whatever he signaled was coming to meet up with him. And I knew that I was probably going to be the one going to be on the losing end of the stick, you know. Well, I thought it was a feral human because I'd heard about them, you know, done some reading about them. But so far as a Bigfoot, I thought that was something that existed out in California. I just thought that was something somebody made up to make money off of. Well, I jumped in off my stand, and I'm running to the west to get to my truck. And I look over my left shoulder, and this creature is running through the woods, and it is just moving brush. It's running through the brush, and it's bulldozing the brush down. And I knew, man, this thing is going to get me. It is mad. It is PO'd. It's going to get me. Well, I'm coming up on my truck, and I'm thinking, well, I got to stop to unlock my truck. And when I get ready to unlock the truck, he's going to make his move. He's going to have me. Well, something crossed my mind to fire a warning shot. Well, when I got to the tailgate of the truck, I threw my rifle to the left, pulled the trigger, and the shot fired, and the bullet hit about 7 foot up in a tree and blew bark in front of his face. The bark actually hit him in the face because he was about 3 foot from the tree. If the creature would have been another 2 seconds, the bullet would have hit him dead in the head. Well, I got in a truck. I'm driving off. I look in my rearview mirror, and lo and behold, his buddy that he had signaled had been tailing me coming up the logging road. I didn't have but one chasing me. I had two. Well, they kind of stood there and looked at each other as I was driving off. But my recommendation to anybody, if you ever have an encounter in the woods, is don't fool with them. Don't make eye contact. Don't point. And surely don't point a gun. Do not engage this creature, because if you do, you will lose. The reason I didn't shoot it is it was just too human. The face, it was a bipedal. You know, it walked two legs, just like we did. But it was just too human. The face was too human. The eyelashes, the teeth, the jaw structure, the forehead, it was light brown. The face was light brown, like it had a dark suntan. But I couldn't pull the trigger because something told me this ain't right. It's not the right thing to do.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, man, these are actual audio taken from different sources off YouTube of people telling their stories and their sightings. Mike Woolley, I know that's a famous one. He has since passed on. I believe he passed away back in April of this year. But that's a very famous one. You know, for whatever reason, you know, we talked about this so many times on the show. One day I believe in it, other days I don't. It's fascinating to me how many people have written our show, how many fellow podcasters I've talked to that they've had people write into their show, and how many just hunters and hikers and people around that all claim to see something strange in the wood that they don't believe was a bear. They don't believe it was a large ape. So this is one of the ones I still have to scratch my head at. I don't think we'll ever know the truth. It's a bizarre thing, this Bigfoot, this Sasquatch, this Almasti, this whatever, Orang Pendek, skunk ape, whatever you want to call it, urine, yowie.
Urine. I mean, that's in the front seat.
That's in the front seat if you see one. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, come on. I said, you know, pissing in your seat is very common. Everybody's pissed their pants. I mean, if you don't, there's only two types of people in the world, right?
Those that pee in the shower. And liars?
Yeah, exactly. I don't believe, listening to the show, unless you're the Dalai Lama, that you've never peed your pants at some point during your life.
I need that sound drop right now, the old woman on Billy Madison.
Which one is
that? Peeing your pants is cool.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you don't know how many pairs of Mack Weldons I've ruined over the years.
The thing about Bigfoot, still, to this very day, is what we've discussed in the past. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why we can't kill one. I don't know why we haven't found the body of one. There's always these perfect loopholes of somebody wouldn't shoot it. They hit it and didn't pick it up. It drug itself into the woods. They carry off their dead. Maybe they bury their dead. All this. I'm like, it's almost like we're making excuses for the reason we want to keep believing in Bigfoot. When we all in the back of our mind know it's probably not real. But then you say that, yet we get all these stories and all these tales of people believably, visibly shaken, and they know what they saw, and they saw it in the daytime. It's not like a misidentification in the dark.
I know.
You're like, well, what? It can only be one thing. It's not of this plane.
I believe that some days and other days I don't. I mean, personally, I know people that have had sightings before I even did the podcast.
Yes.
And so I don't understand. There'd be nothing to gain. All these people that I profiled during this segment, there's nothing to gain by coming forward and telling this story. I mean, like Mike Woolley, did he get some attention? Sure. Did he appear on a few podcasts or television shows telling his story? Yeah. But I mean, I don't think the guy like made a significant amount of money.
No.
And now he's forever memorialized as somebody who had a intriguing and scary Sasquatch encounter. Do you think that helps his children or his grandchildren? No. If anything, it probably ruined it. Or is he coming forward because something he really experienced, something truly terrifying? I don't have the answer. I don't know. But these people, so many of, and obviously people are making them up. But this is a trend, and these are a story of sightings that have go way back. This isn't like it's an internet thing, like the Slender Man or something that's spread out now because of a contest, mm-hmm. a scary story. This goes back in history and from all over the world, going back. Now, I know that there's people that stretch these stories like the Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah.
You know, they claim that Sasquatch, you know, I don't believe that incident had anything to do with Sasquatch. Nothing at all. I think that's jumping to conclusions. But there are sightings that happen all of the time. And for what reason, I have no idea. I don't know what people are seeing, but I'm with you. How come we can't find the bones? How come we can't find hardly any evidence? I mean,
it doesn't make any sense.
It's one of the most frustrating, yeah. one of the most frustrating things. And we're going to be going to Arizona very soon.
Yes.
Up on the Mogollon Rim, which happens to have a history of the Mogollon Monster, which is said to be a Bigfoot or Sasquatch-like creature that's been seen by numerous campers and hunters. And hikers and stuff. Maybe we should look into some more of those sightings to talk about on the upcoming
sure.
show.
For sure.
But you were just saying that
I've got something from Arizona.
A report. Yeah.
Yeah. Cryptozoology News just posted this not long ago about an unedited Bigfoot report, it says, from Arizona that came in from a 32-year-old accountant out of Tucson back on November 14th of 2019. Said the date of the sighting was actually November 12th of this year. Said it lasted, you ready for this? About 10 minutes.
Whoa.
That says the eyewitness didn't provide photographic evidence, but he's going to be in the process of submitting a sketch. So this is what he says. He was actually out hiking in the backcountry and sketching. So you got there to draw, you know, you're just hanging out. This is what he says. I had just come over a hill that overlooked a meadow. The meadows were large, and it's hard to make out any detail on creatures without binoculars. And I had spotted a big furry creature before, it says here, at a lower spot that had less visibility, and I thought it was a bear. So I got up on the ridge to take a closer look with my binoculars. I saw it hunched over something. I realized this probably wasn't a bear, as it had brownish-colored fur, and we only have black bears here, which is true in a way, but there's also, you know, we also know that there are phases of bear color. But now this makes a little bit of a difference. It says, I watched it stand up on its hind legs and take a look around. It was some sort of ape. I had never had an experience like this, and so I wasn't really sure what to do. I watched it continue to hitch over and occasionally stand up and look around. It appeared to be eating some sort of deer or elk. It was hard to tell with the position of the creature, so I decided to try and get closer. So I walked along the tree line down to a closer spot in the meadow. I was still about 150 to 200 yards away. That's when it either spotted me, or it heard me, or maybe it even smelled me, as it got up and made some sort of guttural scream and pounded on its chest like King Kong. It then picked up the carcass on the ground and drug it behind itself. It ran across the field on only two legs while producing a loud grunting sound, and then it soon disappeared into the tree line. Now, this is what he described it looks like. It had a brownish fur color and stood a little taller than a human, about 7 foot, from what I could tell. Its face had a black coloration, and its body was of thicker proportion. I couldn't tell what color its eyes were. It appeared to have human-like hands. Now, keep in mind, I'm looking at this from a distance. And from what I could see, I would best describe it as a Bigfoot. However, I have only looked into what Bigfoot looks like after spotting this creature. And it goes on and says, I'm not going to be able to do this. And right. I'm assuming this person had the phone, but at that distance, you're not going to be able to tell anything. No. I mean, you're going to have a really good telephoto lens and all that to be able to even catch something like that. So this is, again, it's one of those stories that I've wondered a lot of, and all the time we spent out in the woods, of more hunters that may have seen it, but don't say anything about it. Like, you're talking about being in Alaska. Like Remy Warren. You look at Remy and, you look at any of the guys on Solo Hunter, you look at any of the guys that go spend an absorbent amount of time in the backcountry, maybe a week to 2 weeks at a time, they backpack in, camp and hunt, do all that in these remote areas. You would think that they would have some sort of not just maybe a video, but maybe they saw it. And lots of times they're bow hunting, maybe they're rifle hunting. And I often think, what if they do see it? They just don't comment on it because they know it's only going to draw the negative attention and it's only going to cause issues. It's not going to help anything. So let's just leave it at that. We look at like Les Stroud. I mean, Les Stroud has only gotten negativity from whenever he came forward talking about all the stuff that he had been through with it. So maybe it's one of those deals. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into the backcountry where we can see some long distances and running around the Mogollon Rim, seeing if we can't get something on video or at least have something happen. Maybe even do a little tree knocking ourselves, see if we can't scare something up.
Right. That would be very cool. What do you got planned for the rest of your week?
Just now playing catch up. Got back off of vacation, and now it's time to play massive amounts of catch up and try to get everything done for this month because, again, it's a short month with the holiday season. So, yeah, trying to cram a lot of work into a small amount of time.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm doing, trying to play catch up. Like I said, I've got stuff booked for every weekend for the remainder of the year. I've got to finish my Christmas shopping. I've only got a small amount of it done. I'm lacking. Have you done any Christmas shopping?
We have all the Christmas shopping that we need to get done is completely finished. My wife and I don't get each other, really anything big. I'm going to get her a little something. But that stuff's real easy. So yeah, we're covered. Everything that we needed to get done is done. We've already got it ahead of time. And I think that I need one more thing for one of my nephews that I drew his name for Christmas because my wife's family's so big, we all draw names. So I've got his name for Christmas. So that's going to be the only other thing that I have to get to one thing, and it's going to be easy.
That's awesome. Don't forget about our sponsor, Keeps. If you want to receive your first month of treatment free and take action and prevent hair loss, you got to go to keeps.com/expanded. That's keeps.com/expanded. For Inner Tradition Books, New Page Books, Llewellyn Books, and Ancient American Magazine, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all. Oh,
all through the morning rain I get. The sun doesn't shine. Rainbows and waterfalls run through my mind.
As soon as my eyes see the sunshine.
All through the morning rain I get. The sun doesn't shine.